Hello guys and gals, me Mudahar, and this is actually a little bit of a follow-up to a video that I made a couple days ago. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it actually seems like they're kind of coming after Linux, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you probably have read articles and you probably read headlines that say a California law is targeting operating systems, including Linux, by the way, to have that age verifying crap. Now, I know, again, it's always probably is infuriating to some of you watching, but I feel like it's important to kind of talk about this because we really have to explain how awful these laws are, and we really have to talk about the dystopian future so that people understand how bad it is, and then they vote against this kind of crap, and we end up having an internet that we still love. We end up owning computers that we still love 30 years down the road. Look, here's the reality. I'm going to die one day, okay? As will many people. That is the contract we sign the moment we draw our first breath. And that's fine. But I want to make sure that the world is as good as it was the moment I entered before I leave. That's just the mantra I live with in life. And sometimes, the older I get, the more I feel these videos are more important than just goofy random shit. Anyways, to revisit this terrible Californian law over here, to give you an idea, this is Assembly Bill number 1043. Now, this bill targets, again, age-appropriate design code that requires a business to provide an online service, product, or feature likely to be accessed by children to do certain things like estimate the age of a child's user with a reasonable level of certainty appropriate to the risks that arise from the data management practices. So basically, long story short, when it comes to things like application stores, which a lot of operating systems, like they mentioned here, have. Now, operating systems are basically things like iOS, things like Android, things like Microsoft Windows, things like Linux, things like macOS. Now, anytime you fire up any of these operating systems, there are application stores built in. So, for instance, when you're using something like macOS, there is a Mac App Store built into the system. Yeah, you can download Macintosh applications off of the internet, but there are people that, for some reason, use the Mac App Store to download applications. It's weird and foreign to me, but some people do that. Now, if you have an iPhone or an Android phone, there's a good chance you probably download your apps through an app store. Now, a lot of these politicians think that computers, in a lot of cases, are kind of similar to this dog shit. Now, to give you an idea of how Linux works, here is the Linux app store built into my system, and this is called Discover. Now, Discover is not in every distribution of Linux, but it is in my KDE-branded desktop environment. Which, when it comes to Linux, you can always mix and match whatever the fuck you want. But here, you can see that, for instance, in this application store, I can go to all applications and download whatever I want. To give you an idea, Linux is so simple and easy that if I wanted to download things like an emulator, I go to the game section, go to emulators, and I can just download a whole slew of applications from here. And Linux is so simple that once you install all these things, you can update them like a traditional app store. But there is something interesting about the store right here. If you notice, there's no way for me to log in. There literally isn't even a login prompt for this, because you don't even need to make an account underneath Linux in order to do this. In fact, for now, even when it comes to macOS or Windows, you don't need to make an internet account, okay? There's still ways that you can get local accounts out there, for now at least. So these politicians don't really understand computers at a very fundamental level, at least the desktop computers that we buy. Now here's the unfortunate reality of the situation too. I feel like a lot of people are totally okay with going forward. Nobody is going to protest with this because unfortunately, not many people that I talk to in the real world, outside of all of this computer internet shit, some of these people don't even actually own desktop computers. Some of these people don't even own laptops. I myself know a few friends that just literally have smartphones. Dude, anything I want to do, I can do on my smartphone. I had a friend tell me, "Hey Muda, you know you can actually do your taxes through a phone now?" And I was like, "Whoo, when's that audit coming in, pal? Cause I want to fucking roll out the the garden chair and watch that shit happen." But that's a reality. Some people are totally okay with having a completely locked down device. Some people have never even experienced a desktop computer where you can install things outside of an app store. That's the unfortunate reality. There's a whole generation of kids being raised that don't even know about the freedoms that you and I got to experience since the 90s on a computer. We are a dying old breed, as sad as that shit sounds, okay? Now, they say that an operating system or a covered store that makes a good faith effort to comply with this title takes into consideration available technology and any reasonable technical limitations and outages. And of course, they mention things like penalties primarily geared towards the actual company. So Microsoft, Apple, Google, so far in this case. Now, here's the thing. What they do talk about is an operating system shall provide an accessible interface at account setup that requires an account holder to indicate the birth date, age, or both. So I'm going to stop it right here. Here's where this is goofy and unenforceable, okay? For Microsoft Windows, maybe when you're making a Microsoft account, not even a local account, that Microsoft account. When you're making an Apple iCloud account, sure. But there is no Linux distribution out there that actually gets you into doing this at all. In fact, in most cases, Linux, you can just build user accounts that are, again, local accounts on your system. So this is an unenforceable law. It's a poorly written law. Basically, what they're doing is they're saying that every operating system that, I guess, works in California or operates in California will now require you to provide your birthday. Now, you can enter any date that you want, okay? I could say that I was born in January 1st, 1901. Now, is the computer gonna think I'm over 100 fucking years old? Probably, okay? That's what it's been told. And that basically will allow the operating system to issue a grant or a token that says this user's an adult or a kid. Now, again, any child could lie about this and bypass. I mean, it is basically like going to a early 2000s porn website and being asked, are you an adult or are you a kid? The most base level of age verification you can find right there. And literally it only exists so that the company can't get sued for showing something untowards to a minor, right? That's all that it matters. So this is unfortunately how bad the law is, and there are people that have even reached out to the politicians, and the politicians will tell you, bro, the law is actually fucking stupid. I don't know what California is doing. Now, immediately I could sit down and say, okay, this is a bullshit law, they're making this just to fucking piss off the average person. It's a politician doing politician things. But it got my gears turning a little bit, right? And it made me really wonder what the future is that these guys want to achieve. Now, I always think that this is all about mass surveillance and control, and ultimately, I thought of the hardware pathway to do this, right? The computers that we buy at the store, and if you build your own computer specifically, you're buying what components? A motherboard, to be, you know, most frank. That is the heart of your system. Now, when you buy a motherboard, the manufacturers you go to, you know, are the manufacturers. They provide you all types of different motherboards, from like entry level to the super high level. Now, of course, when you fire up your system, you typically see the manufacturer logo on your screen for a brief second, and usually the computer will ask, press F2 or delete to access the BIOS settings. Now, inside the BIOS settings, there is something known as Secure Boot. Now, if you don't know what Secure Boot is something that is basically a standard, and it's been sort of a standard for a while. In fact, for certain games like Battlefield 6, not only do these games have kernel-level anti-cheat, but they also require you to have Secure Boot and TPMs enabled on the device. Now, Secure Boot is an interesting piece of technology, and I feel like not many people explain it in the best way possible. So the best way to describe things like Secure Boot in this situation is when you hit the power button on your computer, before the operating system actually ever loads, the motherboard's firmware actually loads in a list of what they call signatures, right? Now, at this point, is the bootloader that you're going to call signed by somebody that is approved in those signatures, right? If the bootloader is not, it refuses to boot. But if the bootloader is signed and validated, then it proceeds forward. And at that point, the bootloader will then proceed with the rest of the boot up process. Now, the reality of these keys is that out of every single box that you get, almost every consumer motherboard you buy is preloaded with Microsoft's keys at the boot, because Microsoft is the dominant operating system at the moment. Now, of course, Microsoft, when you install Windows, you don't really have to think about it. Secure boot is usually just enabled by default. In fact, if you buy a gaming motherboard, you probably have all of these features enabled and you didn't know about it. Now, if you're on things like Linux, for instance, it works through something known as a shim. So Microsoft signs this shim, and the shim basically trusts the distribution key for Linux. The distro key then trusts things like the kernel, and then, of course, Microsoft is basically the vouch, the trust for that shim. The shim vouches for the actual OS you boot, and you get into your system. So it's a complicated process of basically just having trust and verification. Now, anyways, long story aside, one of the ways that I kind of see California, or at least the rest of the world kind of doing this, is maybe going out of their way to look at the computers that we buy. Think about all the computer vendors right now. Things like RAM, hard drives, anything that you want is basically expensive. There are actual hardware manufacturers that are going fucking bankrupt right now. Now, I feel like for a lot of these government like leaders, going and implementing laws where we're forced into going down and purchasing from like a vendor that now, possibly in the future, I'm not saying that it could happen, but possibly in the future, force things like Secure Boot to be enabled. Not an option anymore. It has to be enabled. And the keys that are provided only allow you to install or run approved operating systems. Now, there's a lot of issues with this, right? First, Microsoft cannot get away with it because it's a very serious antitrust issue. Back in the 90s, we literally went at Microsoft's like face. Now, again, if Microsoft is kind of forced into this, and if Microsoft sort of like, you know, becomes a sort of dominant person, there still needs to be alternatives out there. And there are alternatives. You can go buy a Macintosh, which basically if you buy any Mac hardware, it is effectively locked down to just Mac. And there's a few other options that you can install, but the support does vary. And when it comes to Linux, it might get down to a point that, you know, Linux distributions that are officially supported or officially, you know, licensed and, you know, verified to run can actually run. That is the unfortunate future going forward, right? That is a very dystopian way to look at it. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things that prevent this. For instance, the First Amendment, which if you look at the Constitution, code is protected by free speech. So this might not be something that governments can immediately do. But again, remember, things like age verification laws sort of start in one part of the world and cascade over to the remainder. And that is unfortunately kind of the future for this. What I'm looking at is not protecting the kids or keeping you safe. What I'm looking at is mandating what you can and cannot install into the future, right? Remember, when it comes to cell phones, a lot of these devices are very locked down as it is. You buy a Samsung device, you're pretty much locked down to what Samsung lets you run, as opposed to Google, where at least you can buy a Pixel and install whatever it is that you want for now. When it comes to computer processors, when it comes to computer motherboards, will we ever get to a point where eventually they will start to get locked down at the BIOS level and force users into what operating system they can and cannot install? You know, is it going to be a point where the freedom of Linux eventually will become that focal point, right? A lot of these laws exist because politicians look at this kind of shit and think, okay, this is how we lock down. This is a pathway. They don't understand technology. So when these things eventually fail and you got nerds like me telling you to install Linux to bypass it, then immediately they'll look at the method on how to restrict Linux installations as much as they can. And I guess, long story short, my brain is kind of wired to thinking about this. And again, it's a very negative way of thinking, but it's not a way that is completely unrealistic. I think that the push that's happening right now is being pushed by a lot of government individuals that somehow want our information and want us to be locked down in a way where we really aren't allowed to freely express our minds or freely use the shit that we buy. And remember, these are the same politicians, like Gavin Newsom, for instance, who literally would tell you during COVID to stay locked down in your home, but at the same time would have their own parties where they exposed God knows how many people to the coronavirus, right? So remember, rules for thee, not for me. And if you think that politicians are going to be abiding by the same laws where they're going to be using lockdown shit, don't even think of it like that. Because when it comes to these kind of releases, when it comes to these kind of products, you know, I really see that in the future, there's going to be like a two-tier market, right? Kind of similar to what we have now with certain risky purchases, right? Like when you buy a casual computer, when you buy a consumer-grade computer, you probably will have to buy something that is ultimately very locked down from the store, as opposed to if you're a big business like a Walmart or like a defense contractor or any just big corporation, you will get a different, you know, set of enterprise hardware to go buy. And that'll probably create like a black market of people who use older hardware until ultimately they can't, simply because technology evolves to a point that you need to eventually upgrade. It's such a dystopian future that is upon us that the reason I'm talking about it is that ultimately, for anybody that doesn't understand how any of this shit works, you are on the way to being rug pulled into a dystopian future without even realizing it. So I know that what I'm saying sounds like a real complicated mess. It sounds like I'm just sort of jumping between technical jargon to technical jargon, but that's what it is. We are literally talking about the guts of what makes your computer think and tick in the morning. You know, there are alternatives too, like Core Boot, for instance, which is an open source replacement for the BIOS UEFI. There's also Libre Boot, which is actually even more open source and liberated from actual, like, you know, proprietary blobs. But in order to install this kind of shit, you need to have the hardware vendors that support it. And ultimately, that's a tough game to be in right now. I think that there's a lot of things happening right now that are positioning the world into a very, it's sort of an interesting corral into a controlled future. And that needs to be addressed. We need to kind of wake up to that. We need to kind of stop realizing, and we need to smell the coffee and be able to fight that shit right where it ends. Because I think where we're at right now with the hardware that we have control for now. But I think that ultimately the end goal for some of these politicians, and honestly a lot of these big tech companies, is to guide us into hardware that ultimately is locked down, completely tied to their own commercial interests, and eventually will require us to keep purchasing more and more of their hardware, maybe eventually get to a point where we just rent computers instead of actually owning the shit that we have. You know, when I watch, like, cyberpunk movies, you know what's funny is, like, I always see people who are on the fringe outskirts of the system, and they're always driving shitty cars or using, like, 20-year-old tech, and it makes sense, right? Because the modern tech is so locked down that for anybody that actually wants real freedom, real, like, detachment from the surveillance engine, they have to actually buy really old shit. Is that the future we're headed to? I hope not. But the only way to avoid it is that people realize that laws like these exist, and even if they're unenforceable, right? I wouldn't be making this video if this was a joke law. Even if it's unenforceable now, remember, the politicians and the people pushing for this are going to look at the next stage of how they evolve this even further, right? And I think ultimately there is a group of individuals that want us to have lockdown computers, lockdown hardware, lockdown software, lockdown everything, so that we really don't have the option to escape the system. We just have to reside within it and spend God knows more money over time. It's already getting expensive to purchase and build out a computer. I feel like the next stage is to rent the system and honestly control exactly what you can and cannot install on the system anyways, right? It's insane to me that there exist software these days, people who are totally okay with an approved vendor list for what software you can install. In a normal world, an iPhone would allow you to sideload any application you want without a second thought. But we don't live in that world, okay? We live in a world where a new generation is being raised and conditioned into thinking that this is acceptable and freedom isn't. That's really the future of it. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I know, long technical diatribe aside, but I truly think that Linux is kind of being targeted. And while for now, things do seem free and open, these politicians are not going to ignore the fact that Linux exists. They're not going to ignore the fact that the open source market exists. They're not going to ignore the fact that people have access to real freedom for now. That, I think, is going to be the push going forward. And the more people realize that, the more people can fight against it and actually vote people in that are going to fight against this on your behalf. You have a chance right now to truly fight back. But if you don't fight back, then brother, in 10 years, when shit really changes, you won't have an option, okay? Once the frog has been boiled, it is dead, it is done, and it is all dusted. Ladies and gentlemen, this is me, Mudahar, and if you like what you saw, please like, comment, and subscribe. Dislike it or dislike it, I am out.